The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We've been reading the letters from Paul to Timothy in the past few weeks, and now we're going to read this week and next week some pieces of a letter from Paul to Titus. Paul and Titus apparently went to the island of Crete, and Paul didn't stay long, and so he left Titus to finish his work in that place. And so he told in the beginning of this letter, he told Titus he needed to go in and appoint leaders and church leaders in each of the churches in that area, and that Titus needed to instruct them, to teach them to live a life of virtue. And this life of virtue was supposed to be a self-controlled life in that area. Stoicism was probably present. That was a big philosophy in Greece at the time. And Stoics are those who don't show a whole lot of emotion. It's keeping control of your feelings and how you show how you feel. And so, and all they might accept, you know, what's happening. You're not supposed to fall apart when something happens within your life. And so Titus is telling them to be kind of like the Stoics and to be self-controlled in your life and to be upright, living in a good relationship with God and others, and to be godly, another hard-to-think-of word or hard-to-figure-out word, and that he may have meant devotion to God along with his teaching to be good and moral people. But then he goes on and he talks about this is in the in-between time. This is when we need to live, how we need to live in the in-between time. In the in-between time is when Jesus came. Jesus came, showed us his example and his living of how we should live. And then we have the in-between time. And then we have the time when Jesus will come again. That time when life will be perfect, when the lion will lay with the lamb and there will be no worries. We won't have to worry about elections and impeachment and life insurance and Social Security and all these things that clutter up our lives, getting kids through college or illness. That time when life will be wonderful. And so Christians live in remembering the past, Jesus' example, but we're living in our present, but we're also hoping toward that future when life will be wonderful. So virtue, the life of moral, with good morals, moral excellence, what is the life of virtue? Well, according to Titus, we need to go back to verses 1 through 10 in the second chapter. Oops, here we go. Okay. Titus says, excuse me. Allergy time. Okay. Titus begins, he says, but as for you, teach what is consistent with sound doctrine. Well, that would be Paul's doctrine. Sound doctrine. We know today we have many different doctrines, but he's talking about Paul's doctrine at that time. But listen to these things that he tells us for a life of virtue. Tell the older men, you older men in the group, think about this. You need to be temperate, serious, prudent, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. But older women in this room, you listen to your rules. You need to be reverent in your behavior, not be slanderous, slaves to drink. No more drinking in this crowd. They are to teach what is good so that they may be encouraging to the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good managers of the household, kind, but here we go again, being submissive to their husbands. Now the younger men need to be self-controlled, show yourselves in all respects a good model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, gravity, and sound speech. But then he goes on with another, maybe problematic. He says, tell your slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect, not to talk back, not to pilfer, but to show complete and perfect fidelity. Well, do we agree with all of that? I don't know. I always go to the submissive. I think that husbands and wives need to be submissive to one another. I do not tell young wives to be submissive to an abusive husband or if there's drug addiction or whatever in the home. And so some of these lists of virtues are a little different. We don't have slaves. We would not want a slave to be submissive to anyone. And so this passage this morning, I chose the passage I did because these virtues are questionable. And I think today we also have questions about what is the moral life. Much discussion and often argument in what is moral excellence. But then we come to our passage this morning, and I think this helps me. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training to renounce impiety and worldly passions, to live in the present in our present life in self-controlled, upright, and godly ways. Well, the word grace, we use it a lot today. I love the word grace. And we use it in other ways, saying gracious and grace-filled and graceful. But grace can mean gift. I love the thought of God's grace as being a gift to us, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of many things. But God's grace, for the gift of God, has appeared. Now, has appeared often in Paul's thought is in the future, using the word parousia, as in God appears now, God will appear. But instead, here he used the word epiphany. Now we go through a season of epiphany when we celebrate that the three kings came to Jesus and honored Jesus. And it's kind of the saying, yes, this is a worthy person or this is divinity. It's the bringing of the divine into our world. Or it's those moments, I love epiphany moments when I see God in what I'm doing, when I see little glimpses of God in the world. Those are epiphanies. It's a sudden understanding or a sudden insight into something. In the Greek world, epiphanies were used for a personal appearance of the gods, or the emperors were considered gods. And so a bringing good things to the people was an epiphany. But here Paul is saying the gift of God is an epiphany for us. It's a presence of God, an insight, or a new understanding. And then it says it brings salvation to all. And now salvation is another word that's a little hard to unpack. A lot of different ideas about salvation. But salvation can mean healing also in the Greek. And so we have, for the gift of God is insight, understanding, bringing healing to all. Insight causes us to question and turn from worldly passions. It causes us to look at how we're living, think about the things we have and the things we do, and to look at our lives and hope to live lives of morality and virtue, that self-controlled, upright, and godly life. I think in our world today, we probably all would agree that we need some more epiphanies. We need some more insight from God. We need more of the presence of God. I think our world would be much better and much more loving to everyone. I was listening to our local station, and there was a song by Tim McGraw on it that I love. It's called Always Be Humble and Kind. And it goes like this. The beginning is kind of strange, but it goes on. Bear with me. The beginning says, you know there's a lot that goes by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. Childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. But this is the part I love. It says, go to church because your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be a waste of time. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Humble and kind. When I think of Jesus' life, I think of humble and kind. But yet, was Jesus always humble and kind? I think about the time that he overturned the tables in the temple and the times that he was angry with the unfair treatment of people and oppression. And so I wonder, what is the happy medium between humble and kind and standing up for the rights of others or for ourselves? What is it? What is the happy medium between the two? And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, is humbleness letting someone walk on us, or is humbleness putting others, lifting others up? And so when we do stand up for others, we're being kind to others, we're lifting them up. And when we stand up for ourselves, we can be kind to ourselves also. So a life of virtue, what is a life of virtue? It's a life lived with God as the center. In verse 14, it says, he it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself, purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. It's a lot of words, but it says in essence, Jesus gave himself for us. And then we, in turn, are zealous for good deeds. So we can be, with God at the center, sensible, ethical, godly, self-controlled. We have many of these words that are hard to unpack and hard to figure out, but I think humble and kind, gracious, grace-filled, graceful. Hewlett Glower, a theologian, said, grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There's no way to earn it or deserve it or bring it about. A good night's sleep is grace. Tears can be grace. The smell of rain. And then I add to that list the beauty of West Virginia, the love within this congregation. That's grace. That's gifts from God. So what makes Christianity unique? It's that God forgives us. God gifts us, graces us with forgiveness. And then we can accept that gift and we can bring that healing to all around us. Living a Christian life is not a matter of doing good. It's a matter of being good, being within the gift of God, the grace of God. It's living with God at our center, with sensible insight, with ethics based on our understanding of God and being godly, devoted to the one that we love, who will guide us in our lives of morality and virtue. Let's bow for just a moment of meditation and prayer. Oh God, may we put you at the center so that we may be good, moral Christian people. Amen.